Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening. This week it was reported that the HSE is investigating the 12th case of meningitis in recent weeks. A listener got in touch with us in relation to what she should do herself about her three-year-old, and she's going to come on now and ask me her query. Ruth, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ciara.
How are you? Listen, you have a three-year-old. Is it a little girl?
No, it's a little boy.
Little boy. And you're obviously, you missed the men be.
That's right. Yeah,
because it hadn't been brought in yet. And now you're concerned. What's your worry?
Well, I suppose my worry, Ciara, is that I have a 15-month-old who does have the vaccination because it was part of his standard vaccinations, and a three-year-old who doesn't. And there just seems to be currently so much talk about meningitis.
Yeah.
And I'm just concerned. I'm looking for impartial advice. I've been on Google and I've asked everybody who'll answer me, and I can't seem to come up with an answer that I'm happy with. Should we be vaccinating or should we not?
As a matter of interest, could you, because I don't mean to pry, but could you afford to vaccinate? I know it's several hundred euros.
Yeah, I know. And the problem is, whether I can or I can't, that's not the issue. What I'm looking for is
whether you should.
As to whether you should, you know, because everything goes back to cost and can be based on cost, and we get tied up in knots talking about that.
But what's the true risk is what you're saying.
Yeah. Everything I look on Google, it's either pharma-driven or advocacy-driven. And I thought to myself yesterday, I wonder if I text Ciara Kelly, would she get somebody who would just look you in the eye and go, do you know what, if that was my three-year-old, I'd do it. You know,
your wish is our command, because I'm
delighted
also to joined on the line by Dr. Phil Kieran, who's a GP in Washington Street, Cork, and a great friend to the show. Phil, you're very welcome too.
Thanks very much for having me on again, Ciara.
I'm delighted to have you. But here's the thing. I think Ruth is half the parents in the country. Loads and loads of parents of fairly young children who did not have their child within the kind of the primary immunisation schedule that had the men be included, and are now going, we keep hearing about cases of meningitis, what should we do?
So what should they do?
I've
had maybe 8 or 10 consultations about this in just the last week alone.
Yeah.
And it interestingly, Ruth is in a very similar situation to myself. Neither of my children are vaccinated against meningitis B, but my younger is almost the same age as Ruth's older child. And it's something that I've been grappling with myself as to whether we should or not. I suppose the difficulty is, it's a hard question to give a straightforward answer on. I suppose we're hearing a lot about meningitis B at the moment because there's 11 confirmed, maybe 12 cases this year alone, which is twice the number in this period last year. Now, none of them so far have been meningitis B vaccine preventable. They're not ones covered in the meningitis C or in the meningitis B vaccine. The difficulty with this is it's a very rare condition. The numbers of people affected with it, I was looking up some data this morning, and there was 29 cases of meningitis B in 2017, which is the most recent stat I could find. So 29 cases across the country is not huge, but it can be catastrophic and devastating if you get it. So a meningitis B vaccine, it's a very effective vaccine, works in about 88%, 90% of cases. It's like an insurance policy. And I suppose the best outcome with a vaccine like this, if you get it, is that you should spend the rest of your life wondering, was it a waste of money? And
well,
I know that Ruth didn't want to talk about the money side of things, but it comes down to how comfortable people are with risk and whether they want, whether the value in getting rid of that risk, which is potentially very dangerous but very low chance.
So a low risk of a serious condition.
Yeah, yeah. And so I sympathise with all of the patients coming in because
really,
it's difficult.
Yeah, and there are the text line has loads of people getting on about it now too. But I'm really interested in what you said, in that is the media, and feel free to kick us, is the media conflating two disconnected things? Because if the 12 cases we're seeing wouldn't have been prevented by the meningitis B vaccine anyway, why are we constantly seeing this linkage being put out there?
There you go, Ciara. That's my question. Yeah.
I do think there is a problem. It's a big problem with science and medical reporting in general, though, Ciara, because it's very difficult to summarize a complex topic into something headlinable or soundbiteable. We're hearing there's a big push for awareness of meningitis, and there should be. I'm delighted when people are coming in and asking me about meningitis, because it's a very scary, terrifying thing that can be treated well if it's caught early enough. But you say meningitis, there's a meningitis B vaccine. We're not giving the meningitis B vaccine to a chunk of the population. Therefore, it gets conflated instantly, do you know? So it's a very difficult thing to
but
get
it may
around.
Not be. I know what you're saying, and I totally hear what you're saying. You're saying I can't really give you a categorical answer in that it is a risk, but it's a very, very low risk, but it is of a very, very serious thing. But even the vaccine may not prevent you from getting the kinds of meningitis that we're hearing about. Let me ask you a different question, and it's probably a slightly more pointed one. Did you vaccinate your children that you didn't get vaccinated on the primary immunization schedule?
I haven't yet, but I probably will.
Okay, so you haven't, but you will. And no. I would say my children didn't get it either, and I haven't either. And I think I probably won't. Could I live to regret it? Absolutely, but I think I probably won't.
What age is your youngest?
My youngest is 9.
So the same as the big risk, is it?
Sorry, missed that, Ruth. What did you say?
I'm saying, what age is your youngest?
Oh, sorry, my youngest is 9, so they're not small. Yeah. Well, not super small.
Yeah, because from what you're hearing, it's the under 5s that are the biggest risk category.
And I suppose if I could just weigh in on that as well, the 12 cases of meningitis that have been this year, it's not an outbreak, so it's not one single strain that's come out 12 times. It's a big mix, so it looks like just a natural uptick in meningitis in general. If there was an outbreak of meningitis B specifically, I would change my tone completely. It would be a
so would I. So would I, and that's the key
thing.
And so
would I. I wouldn't have texted. I'd be there. I'd have it done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You'd mortgage the house in that case. Do you know what I mean? You'd do anything.
My gut feeling on it is, if you can get it, I'm very pro-vaccine. I vaccinated my children against chickenpox, and I probably will vaccinate them against this when I can get it. But I would think that if it's something that you can and you think it's a good idea, then do. But it's not necessarily, the headlines are driving it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so too. Ruth, does that sort of answer your question?
Yeah, it kind of does. In fairness, it does. But I like to hear, you know, a GP who says, look, I'm going to do my kids, basically. Because
That's a much, it's slightly pointed and even slightly unfair of me to ask, Phil, but it probably tells you where his head is at.
I don't mind being asked, but it's not something I'm doing today or tomorrow.
You're keeping an eye on it because of the current. Yeah.
Well, you see, I have an appointment booked for next Monday. Sorry.
All right. Well, look. Yeah. See how you go, and the best of luck with it, Ruth. And thank you for putting it out there, because I think it's a really interesting question. Someone else says, Ciara, I'd love to hear the thoughts about GPs advising on men B, as I'm sure many parents would. Parents are really concerned on this, and some are unsure what to do. And I think that is the case, isn't it? People are unsure, and it's interesting, Phil. You said that you have up to ten people coming in, going, "What do I do?" There is something of a scaremongering around this too, isn't there, a little bit?
There is, and I loathe to say that it's deliberate or anything like that, but it's just, when you say meningitis, like there are multiple different types of meningitis, causes of meningitis, and whether they're vaccine preventable or not. And so when you simplify a really complex issue down to a single word like that, you're going to cause...
Can I just ask you to briefly run through, for people who are listening, the signs of meningitis? Because, you know, God forbid you have a child that is exposed, you know, they hear it's in the creche, or they hear it's in the school, or 2 miles up the road. What are people keeping an eye out for in their children?
If you hear it's in the creche and your child has a temperature and they're sick, get them down to your GP. I would rather see 5, 10, 15 children who don't have it rather than miss one, you know?
I know, I agree with you.
With signs to look out for, so a child who has a high fever, a child who is very off form, so either very, very flat and unresponsive or very irritable. And irritable is one of these ones that's so vague that it's kind of scary, but irritable in this sense is won't settle, is uncomfortable all of the time, just not
so
happy.
A bit either lethargic, flat, or agitated-y.
Or agitated, yeah. Where lights really hurt their eyes, and so this doesn't have to be shining a bright light into their face.
It's just the room light,
you're talking about the room lighting or even the TV causing problems for them. Cold hands, cold feet with a high temperature. And then the rash is a late sign, so I wouldn't be relying or waiting for that. But if your child is properly sick and you're worried about it, get your child seen.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you do see the rash, I suppose you are in the later stages and it is not a wait and see. It is a
it is not
an emergency.
If you see the rash,
isn't it?
Go to hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, thank you for that. One of our other listeners, Rebecca, is on the line. Stay with me for a second, Phil. Rebecca, what did you want to ask about your 4 year old?
Hi, Ciara. Yeah, I'm similar to your previous caller. I have two children, the youngest of whom is vaccinated. So he's two. But my four-year-old, yeah, I suppose I'm wondering even of the practicalities of, you know, how many vaccines are involved if I was to do it. And I'm thinking of her now with the four-year-old and the relative trauma of bringing her to be vaccinated,
well,
you know, will be as well. But of course, against the you know, the what it may prevent, you know, it's obviously worth doing. But just, I suppose, some of that. And what the doctor said has been really helpful in terms of, you know, that the cases in the media are not of this strain. So that's been even some of the scaremongering, I think, that's out there, you know. It's
I don't think you'll ever regret getting a vaccine,
well,
Rebecca.
Well, that's it, you see. It's like insurance. That's, you know, what I've seen. And I am very pro-vaccine. I've had the chickenpox vaccine for both my kids. You know, and I do think, you know, it's really important.
As Phil says, I think the worst case scenario is you might wonder, was it a waste of money? You know what I mean? That's the worst case scenario. But but certainly in other cases. Look, thank you for that. Thank you for that indeed. Deirdre has texted, Sakira, my sister lost a good friend to meningitis at 14 years of age. The vaccine is worth every penny. I've had my 3 and 5 year old vaccinated privately. And Connor Pope on Twitter, Connor Pope of the Irish Times, has said, I have two girls who missed the MenV vaccine and one who got it. I'm getting the older two vaccinated today. I'm fortunate because I can afford it, and I'd prefer to spend the money than worry about the consequences of not spending it for the next decade. I think a lot of parents feel exactly as Connor Pope does. Last word to you, Phil, here. Can parents out there who are concerned, maybe who don't have 300 quid and are kind of going, God, am I a rubbish parent that I have two kids and I don't have 600 euros to spend on this, do they have reason to be very worried?
No. And I say that with a provision that, look, if your child is unfortunate enough to contract this, you'll always think, well, I should have gotten it. And much like an insurance policy, if you have something go wrong and you didn't have it, you'll say, I should have had insurance. I'd love this to be I'm delighted that this is in the primary immunisation schedule now and that kids are getting it across the board. But I think, look, if it's a choice between buying the essentials day to day and getting this vaccine, I think keeping the heat on in the house is far more important, you know, keeping food on the table. I do wish that the vaccine wasn't so expensive because it is a very expensive vaccine to buy.
A lot of people texting about the cost, but I think that's a reflection that people don't actually, because a lot of vaccines are provided by the government free, they don't actually realise how expensive vaccines are.
No, vaccines are very expensive, and they're very expensive from the pharmaceutical companies, and they're very expensive to make in most cases.
So I
don't think people should be beating themselves up about it at the moment. Now, obviously, like I said, if there's an outbreak of meningitis B, that changes. But for the moment, no, I don't think they should be beating themselves up about it.
All right. Look, thank you very much for that indeed. That is Phil Kieran there, GP in Washington Street in Cork. 53106 is the text line. Let us know what you think about all of these things. Do you think that the media does kind of hype things up and makes people afraid sometimes of things they don't necessarily have to be afraid of? Someone says, Ciara, I have a 13-year-old. Should they be vaccinated? He's had all his previous ones. Again, it's like what Phil says. It's a really, really low risk of a really, really serious condition. But I suppose you have to judge that for yourselves. But I will say to you, I haven't vaccinated my own, if that gives you any heart on all of this.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc, your online healthcare provider. See a doctor, therapist, or physio now on our app or at videodoc.ie.